You're listening to Mischief Media.
Today on Morb Chat, we're going to talk about phlebotomists and what they really mean to us.
I don't know, it was just the way I was leaning.
Oh my god.
Into this microphone, it felt very public radio all of a sudden.
Act 1, Morbius is in the wilderness. Act 2, Morbius does some other stuff that is unrelated. In Act 3, Morbius kills the woman he loves. I'm Ivor Glass. All this and more coming up next on Nonplussed.
Another episode of Nonplussed, a gay romp through the Disney Plus vault. That over there is my husband Clancy.
Ah, and over there is my husband Josh.
And we are Nonplussed, a Mischief Media podcast.
Yeah.
Oh my, it's been over 100 days.
Has it been 100 days?
I don't know what the math is, but it's longer than we normally take. Look, folks, here's what happened. You know how we like to complain about the platform just removing shit?
Yeah.
We did research. We did prep work for Muppets Take Manhattan because it was back on the platform.
Yeah.
And then when I went to hit play, it wasn't.
Yeah, it wasn't there. It was off the platform and we got very discouraged.
So we said, fuck it. We'll take another month of hiatus.
It was a sign, but you know, hey, you know what? We're back.
We're back. We're excited to be here. It's good to be back. And who knows? Maybe we'll try to make up a few extra episodes here and there just to make sure you're getting your year's worth. Since we took a little bit of extra, you didn't get our take on Echo. You didn't get our take on What If, but we have notes for that too. So we can always record that as like bonus. This is what I'm saying. We've got content.
We'll figure some stuff out. We don't want to make promises that we're just going
to break. I'm just saying life happened.
Yes.
We got halfway prepared for multiple things.
Yeah.
And there's no reason that we can't potentially execute them down the road. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
We got a little bit of housekeeping. We got some new stuff coming to the platform.
Wait, like Tara Swift? That's her cousin.
Tara Swift.
Tara Swift. Oh, she comes in the night. She's Terror Swift. The Taylor Swift's Eras Tour, the concert version that was in theaters, is coming to the platform, Disney Plus, exclusively with 5 extra songs.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool.
It is pretty rad.
X-Men 97 is finally here on March 20th.
Yeah, I was rewatching the last season of X-Men.
I was trying to rewatch the Phoenix Saga. It's a lot, fam.
I wanted to get kind of caught up, or at least like where to see how they're leaving it off, and then
it
to
does
kind of
pick
see
right back up.
Exactly, and I just want to kind of see how they are doing things, maybe differently, or if they are really going to lean into how kind of kooky that show was.
I think it'll be a comic book cartoon in the same way that the previous one was. I just think that we've had 30 years of good broad audience animation in this style to understand how to do story arc. Everything was almost a soap opera on the original cartoon, and we loved it for it because they were taking themselves so seriously.
They really were.
Watching it in retrospect, you're kind of like, okay, guys, it's a comic book show. And if it says anything about how ham-fisted other Dark Phoenix sagas have happened on the screen, this show took 5 episodes to tell that story.
Oh, yeah.
And it's still not one for one, but it makes so much more sense, except for the part where they're breaking into NASA.
Yeah.
Point is, X-Men 97, it's coming March 20th. It picks up right where the original cartoon left off, which, to Clancy's point, you can watch right now on Disney Plus.
Yeah. New York Times lists also released the 50 best things to watch on the platform.
Yeah. So, Wired upped them and added 7 more, but I'll link both of these in case you're like, what should I watch right now? What's new? Whatever. That both the New York Times and Wired have ranked the top 60-ish items. Okay. I haven't looked at the lists. So there might be some differences between.
That's rad.
And last but not least, there are more Korean originals incoming. They're really expanding in the South Korean market.
That's awesome.
And going hard into like K-dramas, original K-dramas.
Yeah.
Because they've had a big swing in subscribership there. And as we've seen from things like Squid Game.
Yeah.
Not only our Korean audience is excited about them, they can be crossover hits.
Oh, absolutely.
And I mean, we're already getting a Squid Game season 2. They did a game show version of Squid Game, which in and of itself is very Gray Mirror, if you ask me.
Problematic. Yeah.
But yeah, Hollywood Reporter did a whole write up on that I'll add to the show notes.
Awesome.
Too. Just really excited. I know a lot of our fans are into K-pop. That's another thing. We got BTS on the platform too.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So I have to imagine there's some crossover into some of their like dramas and soap operas and stuff. And now you know that hopefully there will be more coming to the platform.
Awesome. I'm so excited.
And obviously, before anybody says anything about it, yes, I know that Squid Game was on Netflix, but that's my point, is that the market is there. And if Netflix is also investing.
Yeah, for sure.
Disney should.
No, and they
it all follows. And
they've
all
had
smart.
They've had some other like, you know, stuff that's coming from other countries and adapting it here because people will watch it.
Yep.
What also comes from all over is all of our research. So
don't
coming
hurt
from Wikipedia, IMDb, Rotten Tomatoes, and Box Office Mojo.
Yes, they are. All righty, Clancy. What film did we watch today?
Well, it was the worst April Fool's joke ever, 2022's Morbius.
And what's the Disney Plus synopsis, Clancy?
So the synopsis, as Disney puts it, one of the most compelling and conflicted characters in Sony Pictures' universe of Marvel characters comes to the big screen as Oscar winner Jared Leto transforms into the enigmatic antihero Michael Morbius, dangerously ill with a rare blood disorder and determined to save others suffering from the same fate. Dr. Morbius attempts a desperate gamble. While at first it seems to be a radical success, a darkness inside him is unleashed. Will good override evil, or will Morbius succumb to his mysterious new urges?
This almost reads like the synopsis of a film I watched about my changing body when I was 12.
Yes, your body is going through some changes, and you're going to have some dark urges.
You're
going to
have some mysterious new urges. That I mean, that's that. We saw this in theaters. We went to theaters and saw this.
I think we saw it twice.
I think we did too.
I don't know why we did it to ourselves, but I remember going and seeing it. And I think because it was so bad, we were like, was it really that bad? Like, were we crazy? And then we went and saw it again.
Maybe.
And was like, no, we're not crazy.
And of course, we aren't so silly as to be spending wads of cash on this. We have that Alamo pass where we really only pay a service fee. So,
yeah. I'm not super, super concerned about contributing to this mess.
None whatsoever. As you mentioned, it was released on April 1st, 2022.
What a joke.
It runs an hour and 45 minutes, directed by Daniel Espinosa and written by Matt Sazama and Burke Sharpless, who also wrote Madam Web.
Did they not learn their lesson? We saw Madam Web.
Yeah.
It was a movie
about some spider people.
I don't think it was worse than this.
There were parts of Madam Web that were objectively funny, but should not have been.
Yeah.
So I think on a scale, Madam Web sits beneath this. There's something here.
Yeah.
They stopped trying halfway through and couldn't get it across the finish line. That's all there is to it. We'll get there.
Yeah, for sure.
So
let's talk about the cast.
Let's do. Jared Leto as Dr. Michael Morbius.
Matt Smith as Lucien or Milo Morbius.
Adria Arjona as Dr. Martine Bancroft.
Jared Harris as Dr. Emil Nicholas.
Al Madrigal as Al Rodriguez.
Tyrese Gibson as Simon Stroud.
And Zaris Angel Hator as Anna.
Nice.
She gets lines. She's one of the last credited characters with a name. They didn't list her as like up there on the Wikipedia page. And God damn it, because we never see her after they put her into that damn coma, I'm going to name her and her character.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for your work, Zaris Angel.
Exactly.
All right. Anything to say before we jump in?
Well, I'm going to say, if you haven't seen Morbius yet, you don't need to. It is not required viewing in any sort of measure for any of the MCU and will have no impact.
If you want to be entertained by Morbius stories, watch the Spider-Man episodes that I think are also on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
That feature Morbius. They tell his story much more sympathetically through Peter Parker.
That said, if you're a drunk and or high or whatever it is that you do, and you just want
this
something
is a
to
fine
laugh
hate
at,
watch. Yeah, it's a fine, like we're drinking at Halloween and having a good time.
I mean, they brought it back to theaters because of a fucking meme. Like it's that.
See, but that's media illiteracy from the publishing side. That's a whole different story.
It really
that is someone at Sony not understanding or not listening to the youngest person in the room when they say, no, this isn't serious. No, but look at all the engagement. Look at the number. No, it's a joke. But it can't be because That's an executive being stupid. And then they lost money on that. Joke's on them as far as I'm concerned. Look, I am a free agent right now. I will gladly take your money to tell you how to do this shit right. Woo!
I mean, tell me how you really feel about it. I mean,
it's good to be back on the mic.
Yeah, let's do this.
At a hospital in Greece, for some reason, 10-year-old Michael Morbius welcomes his surrogate brother Lucien, whom he immediately renames to Milo. They bond over their shared blood illness and desire to be, quote, normal. Seeing Michael's potential, their adoptive father and hospital director Nicholas arranges for Michael to attend a medical school in New York while he focuses on caring for Milo. 25 years later, Michael publicly declines a Nobel Prize for his work with artificial blood. His colleague Martine Bancroft discovers he has secretly captured dozens of vampire bats from Costa Rica in the hope of splicing their genes with his own to cure his condition.
The first note I have is, oh boy. the starting in Costa Rica, like, was...
That's the other thing, is that this synopsis does not mention. We actually start this film in Costa Rica.
Oh, right.
With an adult Michael Morbius flying in on a helicopter to a cave of bats. There's a weird string trap of some sort.
Which doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. His parka looks like a cloak. That's already too much.
Yeah.
This is the first of many tropes of, like, creature feature monster, whatever, that we get throughout this movie. And they're so ham-fisted. Tropes can work and can delight.
Yeah.
But here it's just like, this is what happens now. And it's like a flagpole.
It's so unnecessary.
I'm referring to the palm cut. Whenever there's this kind of bait scene in a movie, it's always across the palm.
Pay me now, before the sun goes down.
You throw in that bushcrafter on your belt and we have a deal.
Fucking annoying a cut on your hand in the middle of your hand is, even if it's your non-dominant hand.
Yeah.
Why not just, like, a little bit off the shelf, somewhere you could put a band-aid on it and it not get fucked.
But again, this whole sequence just being right at the beginning doesn't make any sense. Because it's not needed.
No, they immediately then jump backwards 25 years. And even in that flashback, we're getting other minor flash forwards that themselves are flashbacks.
Yeah.
From the jump, you're like, I don't know what the story is.
I don't know what time I'm in.
Right.
Like, that was the other thing, is it just starts, it doesn't say like 2019 Costa Rica,
right,
whatever. It doesn't give you any sense of like, hey, it's present day.
And actually it's not, because Adrian Toomes is coming from what, 2023 technically, I think?
Right. So again, it doesn't make it.
Spoiler alert.
The whole thing is just weird. You don't understand what time period is. And then they're jumping back 25 years. Start at where things begin.
Yes.
Like, start at the beginning. There's no reason to jump back. It's such an overused trope. It's film school 101 shit. It doesn't make any sense.
The better way to do it, if you're going to do it, is to show, like, excessive violence and whatever. And then at the end, it's attributed to Morbius. It's like, oh, how did we get here? And then it flashes back.
Yeah.
That's better. But I also just realized that we didn't mention at the top that Michael Keaton is in reprising his role as Adrian Toomes in this film. And I only mention it now because he's billed in the top of this film.
Yeah.
Despite not appearing until the last 5 minutes and having five lines.
That's right. And the trailer had him
spoiled
in it.
Spoiled it.
The trailer had him in it. And so it really didn't make
any
sense.
So you're watching
this
movie for an hour and 40 minutes going, where the fuck is Vulture?
Right.
And then the credits start to, we'll get there.
It's ridiculous. Anyways, I will say, I made it a point to point out the things that I liked.
Okay.
The title sequence with, like, the squares and colors and shit was rad.
It was giving very bisexual energy. I liked it.
It really was. And that was the only thing I liked. So the circle wipe was also a choice. And this was when they were going back 25 years.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I don't know.
Why was that even necessary? Again, it's one of those things where it's like,
I wanted it to have like a sting under it. Like,
It served nothing to the story. It wasn't trying to like, oh, look at this thing or whatever. It had no bearing. There was no reason. There's so many things they did in this that were just like, why?
Like objectively shitty Greek kids from school. Like why? Who are these little assholes?
Yeah.
Do these kids exist that just go, hey, that's a hospital. I'm going to just generally make fun of the patients in it.
It's bright as fuck outside.
Right.
It's darker on the inside. They can't see in the window.
Well, they're in their beds. They're not at the window.
So the whole thing is just stupid.
Yes.
And it's insulting my intelligence is what it's doing.
This film really does not trust its audience. It wants its audience to experience, see, and think a very specific thing. And so it's going to hold your hand all the way there.
Yeah.
And it's nonsense. For example, Milo starts to die and Michael fixes his little respirator, ventilate, whatever the thing is.
Yeah.
Just by reconnecting a circuit.
Best not to be outside when school gets out. Like the original Spartans. We are the few against the many. Milo? Milo. Nurse?
No, he replaced a fuse with a spring.
Oh.
It was a blown fuse that he replaced with the spring. Now, they're all saying, wow, you're so smart to be able to do something like that. It's like, no, what you did was insanely dangerous because the fuse blew for a reason, which means that there's probably other electrical issues with that particular thing. And if you're bypassing what a fuse is supposed to be doing to protect the thing from catching on fire.
$10, the script just said, device malfunctions, Michael fixes it.
Yeah.
And this was their interpretation.
It's so fucking stupid. But the other thing is, even if that was the case, you don't have to show it.
No.
You can just show him going through and opening it up and then fixing it somehow.
This film does a lot better showing that it doesn't need to. Again, because it wants you on a specific path. I am generally a fan of show, don't tell. This movie does it way too long.
And Chekhov's pen doesn't come back. It was a whole thing about
him
being
that
smart.
In the jugular at the end. But no, the doctor does mention that Morbius is going to be attending a school for gifted children.
There's a school for gifted children in New York. I think that I could get them to agree to cover your tuition and provide private care to help manage your condition. Somewhere you could study, learn, hone your skills.
But not that school for gifted children.
And we're going to talk about it later, but there are things that they reference in this. The MCU movies are very particular about the words that they use.
Yes.
When
they have to be.
In Doctor Strange, they said things specifically like multiverse, and they said things like this that are things
incursion.
That were going to become a thing. No, I'm talking about the OG Doctor Strange. They said the word multiverse in that movie.
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
You would think that if they're going to say something like that, this isn't Deadpool. You can't just say, like, where are the rest of the X-Men?
And there are, like, 4 or 5 non sequiturs like that throughout the film that don't tonally meet. They would be better in Venom, which is kind of a horror comedy because of the relationship between Eddie and Venom.
Yeah.
But in this, he literally flips the switch. There is no growth of any kind.
Exactly.
There's no change that he goes through because, anyway.
Yeah. They get back to his lab, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're testing the bat serum on
the mouse.
The mouse, right? So the mouse dies. They go and they help
Anna. They induce a coma because she'll die otherwise.
Yeah. Who is fridged for the rest of the thing again. She doesn't come
back. Yeah, she never comes back. I hope Anna's okay.
He starts doing all these things, using all of this equipment and whatever, and then he pulls out his Casio watch to time it. With all the fucking technology that is around you right now, and the fact that you are collecting data that you need to be insanely accurate, you're going to use a Casio watch where you have no control over any of the data that is being generated?
At minimum, make it be an Apple Watch that's synced to his Mac.
Something. Anything.
Yeah,
it's just the Casio watch was fucking, and they kept bringing in Chekhov's Casio watch kept coming up over and over and over. And I get why they were doing it later, but also this guy invented a replacement for blood. He should be the richest person in the world,
which it's but I mean, it's also privately funded research. So maybe that's why Milo is so rich.
Sure.
But that whole subplot, that whole thing is an invention for the film because they didn't want the hero to actually be a blood-sucking vampire the entire time. The artificial blood does not exist in the comics. In the comics, the reason he's an anti-hero is because, yes, he does these vicious murders, but they're on vicious murderers. Like, he's
taking out bad guys. Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's Blade.
It's Blade. It's Venom. It's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Blade and Morbius are in the MCU. Like,
they're in the Midnight Suns together.
Okay.
In the books. There is a future potentially where Jared Leto's Morbius and Mahershala Ali's Blade are in a movie together.
Oh.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Well, whoever wrote this in Madam Web better not fucking touch it. That's all I got to say.
It needs to be a Marvel writer. Whoever's been working on the Spider-Mans, and I feel like that's names we should know, but...
Yeah.
The Tom Holland, Peter Parker, Spider-Mans have been working because they are so grounded, despite being goddamn bananas in their stakes.
Oh, yeah.
This did not have a grounding element. Venom is getting a third movie because come hell or high water, Tom Hardy is grounding that and it works.
It really is. And that's the thing is Jared is doing nothing to really make us feel bad for him or at least feel sympathetic.
No, he's just trying to be a broody hot goth the whole time.
And the other side of it,
normally that does it for me.
There was one point in the movie where I was like, maybe this is going to turn around. Maybe, you know, Morbius is going to be like, especially when
this time, bright eyes,
especially when he's talking with Milo about, you know, hey, give me time to perfect this.
Yeah.
We've got something here, but this isn't it.
We'll get there. Yeah. It doesn't, Morbius creates all of his problems.
He does
himself
and does nothing to protect it.
No,
nothing at all.
And just keeps charging forward. Yeah. Similarly, Martine has no agency. And I feel like to a degree, Morbius is a victim of this plot.
Yeah.
You know, the character is a victim of this plot in the same way that Martine is. Like, no one's being given clear, dynamic choices.
Sure.
It's kill people or don't. Well, I don't want to, so I'm not gonna.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, then... Maybe devote all of your work to protecting this thing and maybe don't just leave it out in the open in the lab where you have somebody that is literally pining for it and you just leave it there.
Those lab doors open like a goddamn grocery store. There's no key card. They literally automatically open and then everything in there is voice activated with no authentication.
Exactly. But again, he uses the Casio watch to time it. It just doesn't make any sense.
It's nonsense.
I do have a note here that it's not starting out bad. Not great, but not bad. I actually disagree with myself in that moment because, again, all of this doesn't pay anything off.
No, we know now. Well, and that's the thing is the first quarter to a third of this movie is fine. It's where they start trying to force Morbius's hand in everything and not actually giving him... He is presented with choices and then immediately makes a choice. There is no moral dilemma for him. It doesn't seem ever.
You know what? There is no low point for him. There is no like, hey, I've got nowhere else to go, whatever. He's got everything to do. What?
We'll discuss it when it comes time.
Okay, fair enough. This is, you know, Josh is just keeping you on your toes.
Because, hey, the film's certainly not going to. It does exactly what you think it's going to do the entire time. And that's the biggest problem. Yeah. There's nothing that's not predictable about this film.
Yeah, I even remember watching it and being like, I know where this is going.
Yeah.
I knew where this is going the moment Milo showed up at the lab.
Yep. All right, shall we continue?
We shall.
Michael receives funding from Milo to outfit a private mercenary vessel in international waters with his equipment. While the cure works, it transforms Michael into a vampire who kills and drains the crew of their blood after they attack him out of fear. Once his bloodlust subsides and he regains his senses, a horrified Michael erases all CCTV footage of his experiment before contacting authorities and jumping overboard. Michael returns to New York and discovers he now has superhuman strength, speed, and echolocation, with his vampire bats treating him as one of their own. To control his bloodlust, he subsists on his artificial blood as it gradually ceases to satisfy his needs. An artificial clock that genuinely never pays off.
Oh, yeah.
He only gets close to fucking up once, and even then he's across a room.
Yeah.
There's no risk.
There's literally no risk. Like, yeah, there was no clock that was really established that was ever... Like, the stakes here don't mean anything.
No.
And they even talk about wooden stakes.
The stakes are overdone.
Yeah. So, okay. You've got all this money, whatever. You're wanting to do this experiment in international waters,
yes.
I guess, because it's illegal.
Yeah.
Okay.
it's to be outside of any legal jurisdiction, because I don't understand why necessarily that it's illegal. I guess that generally speaking, any attempts to combine human and animal DNA might be illegal. Sure. I don't know.
But also, the Incredible Hulk, he did that on himself.
Right.
Why did this have to be done this way?
Speaking of, why did we have to see a big fucking needle going into a spine? I've had a spinal tap. No, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
I don't need to see that.
Visceral.
I did not need to see that in this movie. I didn't have to see it in any movie.
Yeah, especially because, like, the blood. The blood splatters on the camera on this one. Okay.
I didn't hate it, but it wasn't. They didn't do what they needed to do for that to, because that happens in other films that aren't Deadpool, and I'm okay with it because they're kind of.
Right, but that was because it was kind of more stylistic and a choice.
I feel like it happens in the Suicide Squad a couple times, the one we like.
Maybe, yeah, that's possible. I know that it happens in, like, 300. It happens in the movie
in
with
some movies it works.
Sin City. It yes. happens in
oh,
Sin
yes,
City.
Oh, yes, a lot.
So, but that one was because it was all very stylistic and it was meant to look like a comic book. This is not doing, it's not trying to look
the
like
only
a comic book.
The only thing stylistic about this film were those scenes where they were trying to make it like make a bold choice about how Morbius's powers manifest.
Yeah.
But all it looked like is that he was turning his clothes into smoke. Like, I don't understand.
And really what it did was it took me out of it because I'm like, wait, is the camera in the room here? Like why are we doing this? Because
right.
all this is doing is calling attention to that. And that's unnecessary.
Yeah.
It could have been better if that was happening in the environment. Which, I mean, I know it's PG-13,
I think.
Yeah. So maybe there's
lots of blood, but no F-bombs. It's probably PG-13.
Yeah. So it's probably like they couldn't do too much that way. But at the same time, if you're going to do it,
you'd be surprised how much blood you can have before you get an R rating. But it's two fucks and you're R.
I mean, I've got that on a T-shirt. It's
but
two
speaking
fucks
of
and it's an R.
Speaking of telegraphing things, he only goes batshit when Martine gets hurt.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a full fucking telegraph to the very end of the fucking film.
I mean,
I will say at least it's a diverse group of English speaking goons that are getting murdered violently. More could have been white.
Yeah.
But, you know, at least they're not all people of color and not speaking English. That's the most progressive thing this film does.
Exactly.
As he's doing this fight and he's hunting these mercenaries down one by one and we're getting all the cool effects and this is what he can do. And he's going, meh, 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 meh. The last one, everything's real quick. It's visceral. The blood is splattering. The last one, we watch that man's chest get crunched in and then the camera spins us into a first person perspective of getting chomped on. This movie didn't earn any of that. I was like, what? Oh. The spine needle was enough.
Yeah.
But now you're treating this man's chest like a can you're tossing into the recycling and you want me to feel that in my mind space? No. How dare.
So I just looked this up because I mentioned this, or I put this on my notes, and this was part of my many questions of Morbius series, which is about to start happening, because basically every line that I have ends in a question mark right now.
Uh-huh.
Did he lose weight for this? The answer is yes, he did.
Yeah.
He went down to 109 pounds and then went back up to like 170 or something.
And, you know, but normally I'd be turned on by a sweaty topless man with floppy hair, but Count Jacula over here ain't doing it for me.
But also, why actors? Why are you doing that to yourself? You do not have to.
You really don't.
We have visual effects that are good enough to make that effect happen.
Yeah.
I mean, fuck, they did it for Benjamin Button and that was fucking 2003.
You ain't wrong.
Like, what?
So what else doesn't make sense? We've seen him going all over this room. His powers are supposed to be at their most potent, right? Because it's the first time he changed. He's just had a shit ton of blood. But he's going to jump off the side of the boat and swim 13 nautical miles. He ain't even going to try to fly.
Yeah. Because maybe he just didn't know that that's what was happening.
I'm sorry. You're 13 miles out. It's windy.
Yeah. It is.
You shouldn't need to be at the top of a building like Spider-Man to realize that you've got powers.
I also would have liked a ghost ship moment. The ship just kind of sails into the dock or whatever. And then they realize that's what's going on. Like, somebody goes on and realizes all these dead people are there. That would have been more interesting.
Yeah.
And honestly, better if all of that Morbius fight happened, but it was all like dark and whatever. And then we cut to that.
This is where I started to think that you could have made this exact same movie.
Yeah.
With many of the same beats, hopefully some better dialogue. If you just shifted it to the perspective of Martine.
Yeah.
If she's the person we're seeing this through, so that she's having to understand what's happening to someone she cares about,
mm-hmm.
so that she could have some agency in the sacrifice that she has to make later.
Yeah.
I think it would have been a better movie. And then later, Morbius can be a character in a group setting that functions well because we've already adapted to him through a more grounded character.
Sure. If it were treated more like Christine is in Doctor Strange.
Sure.
Where she is, you know, trying to help him help a doctor.
Yeah.
Literally there. And then, you know, she's like, I can't do this anymore. And then leaves.
Christine
like,
has so much agency and it doesn't get her killed.
Christine has so much agency.
Yeah.
And this, it sucks. It really, they did her dirty.
They really did. And there's no, the current, whoever is steering the helm at whatever fucking slapdash put together ship is the Sony Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're on about right now because we can't point to any good characterizations of women in any, like maybe Michelle Williams. I feel like her in Venom is the standout in this universe of, I mean, you really can't compare it. Having watched this again, I now have such a greater appreciation for Venom. Not that I didn't like it. I just wasn't woo, Venom. Like, it wasn't my thing.
No, I thought Venom was fun. It was definitely a breath of
Venom
fresh air.
Venom is fun.
Yeah.
And is a better movie comparatively. And I feel like.
And I think that's really what these are missing is fun. Madam Web missing the fun, really.
Yeah. And again, objectively funny for no reason or for the wrong reasons.
Exactly. Ugh. There was a good movie underneath there. There's a good movie underneath here. But it just was so.
There's a good movie with Emma Roberts as Peter's mom and Ben Wyatt as Ben Parker.
Yes. Spoilers, but hey, it's fine. Who cares? I do have another question. So did the rat not exhibit the behavior of a vampire?
How do we know? They didn't observe it long enough to find out.
Exactly my fucking point. Again, it's the whole thing is just.
I do like the idea of a vampire mouse like terrorizing that lab, though.
Oh, yeah.
Show me that animated short.
That would have been fun. Hey, if you want to bring the fun, that would have been fun.
I mean, especially if it's like to fuck it. Like, it's not just the bats, or maybe with the bats is also that mouse that's like, I'm going to fucking kill you, Milo.
Exactly. Little white guy just like go. It would be funny, but also it would make more sense. But also at the same time, like if he didn't stay long enough to see how the effect, you know, what the effect had on this month, he immediately was like, I have to do this now. I don't think he was dying that week.
And then
I don't think he was dying that year.
And then when everything is what it is and it's on the other side of taking it and he's figuring it all out and Milo shows up and in the middle of him werewolfing himself, which is how Tracy Jordan. And then he's so vague about what happened, what the effects are, what the negative effects are.
Mm-hmm.
There is no, we're almost there. There is no, we've got to get this right first. It's just, yes, I'm hot and powerful now, but you don't like, I get Milo's turn.
Yeah. He should have,
but it's only because this Morbius isn't doing anything.
Yeah.
Substantial. There's no stakes for him.
Really, it should have been like Morbius should have just said, hey, I need to figure this out first. Like, this seems promising, but I need to figure it out first. We're almost there.
Right.
Like, a musical would have been great here.
I think it's
musical.
One of the first, perhaps the only time I've ever said, no, I don't think that needs to be a musical. So, we get this turn from Milo and Morbius and, we're supposed to be brothers. We're in this together. Yada, yada, yada.
I seek it out.
Hey,
You just told him to leave, dipshit.
Right. All of that. And then it seemed like all of their relationship had just gone out the window
with the
inkling that, oh, hey, this might work. But hey,
it almost feels like there was a bit more of a fraternal love, perhaps homosexual love plot line. Like, I feel maybe, like a little bit more of a push to, you know, quote brothers, not just, you know, blah, 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 blah. It, because I feel like that would have been, I don't know, a bit more grounding again.
Yeah.
A lot of the vampire mythos, and they even make fun of it in the film, just gets thrown out the window. It
really does.
But when you think about modern vampire stories and the allegories that are there, some of it, a lot of it, especially in Rice's, is very parallel to homosexual experience generally, and then also the experience of living with HIV and AIDS during the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to try to extricate your vampire character from a general foundational genre thing of potential otherism via sexuality, whatever, and then force this relationship because you need a villain.
Yeah.
Then no wonder the actual love interest has no agency and gets fridged.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because she's not the primary relationship that he's worried about.
Yeah, it would have been better. It really shouldn't have been. The whole thing is just fucking stupid. Also, this fucking hallway scene where what's her face?
You are a high tech lab.
I understand they turned off the lights, right? But like the lights shutting off before the next light turns on with whatever motion detection, which by the way, the motion detect, like, do they have motion detectors every fucking 5 feet? Because that seems insanely not needed.
Right.
But also leave a couple of the lights on in between. This whole shutting off and turning on thing was absolutely distracting. Again, took me right out of it because I'm like, what are they doing? Trying to save power? Fuck that.
Yeah.
They made fake blood. They have so much fucking money. It doesn't matter.
No.
Especially at a hospital where literally you've got life-saving equipment that should always be on.
Yeah.
And those hallways should be very well lit.
Well, is it a hospital or is it a lab? Line is blurred the entire time.
I guess. Yeah. Anyways.
Because also at one point, right after this, they're moving children past the exsanguinated woman.
Yeah, it's so
she ain't covered.
Nope.
She's not blocked off in any way. These kids don't have any kind of protection themselves. No, children, don't look at that. The fuck are you doing to these kids?
It's so fucking stupid.
All right, you ready to move on?
Yeah, let's try to get this done.
FBI agent Simon Stroud and Al Rodriguez investigate Michael's victims and deduce his involvement. Milo learns that Michael is cured, but becomes furious when Michael refuses to cure him as well. While checking on a hospitalized Martine, Michael finds a dead nurse drained of her blood. Believing he was responsible, he attempts to escape before being arrested by Stroud. In prison, he is visited by Milo and realizes Milo took the cure and killed the nurse. Michael escapes to confront him. An unrepentant Milo urges Michael to embrace his powers as he has. Unwilling to hurt his brother, Michael flees. I realize we just talked a bit about that section before we even got to it, but hey.
That's fine. I mean,
our audience, do you care?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, my first note here was, why are these children on this lab level to be escorted past this dead body at all? Yeah. So we just talked about that. Let's move on. Why is it that New York cops in these movies have such a brazen shoot first policy? Morbius is trying to fly up that stairwell and NYPD jackhole over here comes and just, there were just
spray
children
and pray
in the hallway.
Spray and pray.
There were just children.
Yeah.
Thank God we get a competent FBI agent in here to tell you, hey, maybe don't shoot in this goddamn facility.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And the cops in this are like,
they're in a different movie.
They are in a different movie. And the whole thing too just feels like, you know, that there are other enhanced individuals in the world.
Yeah.
Here. I mean, that's the implication, is that there are others like this that you should have a way of dealing with this or a protocol.
I mean, also because there are other enhanced individuals in this world, there should either be extreme skepticism or extreme fear exhibited by this new thing. Oh no, what could it be? Oh no. And that's not here at all. They're 100% on board with vampires from the jump, even though the holy water is a little bit excessive.
Holy water? Really?
What? I'm not taking any chances. It's triple blessed.
Again, if you want to try to be a funny movie, be a funny movie. But if you want to try to be serious, don't do shit like
that. And if you want to say our vampire isn't like other vampires, don't just do that. Show it.
Yeah.
Push Edward out into the sun and make him sparkle, goddammit.
Well, they did. They did it at the coffee shop.
It's not the same thing. Because he was just outside.
Oh, right.
His face was not completely covered.
Exactly.
All he had on was a hoodie. He was just outside.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
The audience knows.
Yeah.
So why do we need to convince her? Why can't he just say, it's not like that?
Exactly. The echolocation effect with the ears.
Yeah.
Don't like.
No.
Didn't like it.
No.
And they showed it way too many times.
Way too many times.
And I wasn't really a fan. Also, did Milo just become like a super vampire in 4 hours?
Here's what I don't get. Well, I mean, we know that the transition happened relatively quickly because we saw it happen to Michael on the boat.
Yeah.
Michael needed help injecting it into his spine.
Yeah.
How did Milo do it?
Right. How did Milo do it? How did Milo become proficient in knowing what he needed to do in order to, you know, stay alive or whatever, other than just the compunction that, oh, all I have to do is kill people?
Yeah.
Okay. It just seems like such a stupid turn.
Also a stupid turn. Now he's in prison, as we mentioned, being interrogated for being a vampire, which in and of itself is goofy. And they start questioning him.
Her name is Kristen. We worked together every single day for 7 years. She was a good person.
So why'd you do it?
I can't answer that.
Without my lawyer, at which point Matt Murdock should come in. Like, there are ways to do this.
I mean, I forgot, because when he's in the prison cell and then they say, oh, your lawyer's here to see you. I was like, oh, wait, maybe Matt, is he in this movie? I forgot. No, it was fucking Milo.
But this is where he starts escalating because he hasn't had blood in a while. And we get this fucking line.
Thank you.
I dropped a bag. There's something inside that I need.
Bag of artificial blood.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's in evidence. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm starting to get hungry. You don't want to see me when I'm hungry.
What are you doing? Who is this for?
It's so stupid.
No other reference has been made that you have not done the world building to earn. You just expect the audience to know because the media that you prepped has told them this is part of that world. They're raising flags along a path and they're like, ding, did it, ding, did it, ding, did it.
Yeah.
Rather than actually telling a story and letting these things happen, even though you're scripting them, happen organically.
It's like, are you watching any of the DC movies and how terrible that some of those can be? Like, have you watched, like, are you, it feels like you're not trying and it feels like a waste of money, truly. Like, why make this?
And everybody wants to point out, like, oh, there's the Marvel Brain Trust and this and that. And the other, like, Kevin Feige, he has got the clear vision, blah, 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 blah. When it comes down to it, one thing that Feige has managed to do consistently, regardless of whether or not the outcome and execution was great, is not forget that these are comic book movies.
Yeah.
And maintain the joy and delight and color that happens in these stories when we're rooting for these people.
Well, and get the right people behind the development of it, right? Yeah. The right writers, the
we
right
director. We root for Venom.
Yeah, we do.
We don't root for Morbius.
And I mean, you know, you think about it like that with like James Gunn, which is why I'm excited about, you know, the new Superman and all that stuff. James Gunn came in and did something with an MCU movie that was so wildly different from the rest of it. And it's because it's someone like James Gunn that could do something like that and then goes and makes Suicide Squad in the DC side and makes one of the best DC movies.
Yeah.
And oh, man.
And again, it's because he said, these are the comic characters and this is what they look like in film. It was just that. And then he went from there.
Yeah.
It wasn't, we need to change this to make it a thing. Yeah.
And then make us care.
He just shifted the medium rather than trying to change what the thing was and then shift the medium.
Yeah. We already talked about it, but Morbius can fly. So
Yeah.
He can fly, he can fly, he can fly.
He can fly.
You took the serum even after I warned you.
Whoa, 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 what am I gonna do? Lay down and die? Thank you for the death wish, bro.
I tried to protect you!
Protect me, protect me, protect me from what?
For becoming a monster like me.
I don't think you're a monster, okay? I killed the nurse. I killed the nurse. I know. But you know what it's like your first time. You have no idea what you're doing. You have no control.
Milo, you have to stop.
You have to stop. You have to stop denying who you are. It's boring. We can go anywhere. We can do anything. Let's go. Let's have some fun.
Milo, you've been a vampire for 5 minutes.
Right. Four hours. Like, literally. Like, he had just taken this and is now suddenly leaps and bounds beyond what Morbius is.
Taking place over the course of, like, 3 days.
Right.
Which, and I get that in a lot of these comic book movies, you do have to compress the time frame a little bit to make it believable.
Sure.
Especially when you're doing these shared universes, you know, Spider-Man movies are a good example of that because of how other characters can come in.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And it feels earned. And again, we're focusing on the plight of, you know, of a character.
Yeah.
We're focusing on that. And again, I didn't care about Morbius. Nothing made me care about Michael at all.
No,
there was nothing endearing about him at, you know, like, at least like Michael Scott, it could be hard to root for him.
Yeah,
but he's fucking endearing.
Yeah,
that's not here.
We should have felt something when Morbius realized his brother had become a homicidal maniac.
Yeah,
we should have felt something every time Morbius had to make a choice we were being told was difficult.
Right.
We didn't.
No, it was just being told this is difficult, but Morbius is just like, I guess whatever.
The last note that I had in this section when they're doing all this fighting and Morbius is trying to get away.
Yeah.
And Milo's doing the slow motion run. We know he's fit under that shirt. We're going to get a whole dance sequence with it here in a minute. But it looks like he got titties jiggling just because of the slow-mo and how the shirt.
Yeah.
Because like he'll move one arm and it's tight, tight, tight. You see that nipple poking out.
Yeah.
But the other arm looks like a sagging breast because it's pulled back and the shirt is billowing forward.
Yeah.
And I giggled because I was like, huh, titties. All right, shall we?
Yeah, we shall.
Michael meets Martine, acquires a new lab, and develops an antibody against vampirism to stop Milo. He also plans to use it on himself. Stroud and Rodriguez find footage of one of Milo's attacks and, believing Michael's vampirism to be spreading, release it to the media. Nicholas recognizes Milo and pleads with him to stop. Angered by Nicholas's perceived preference for Michael, Milo mortally wounds him. Michael arrives too late to save him, while Milo also mortally wounds Martine. Martine dies in Michael's arms, forcing him to drink her blood. Michael summons an army of bats to restrain Milo and inject the antibody. Milo dies and Michael flies off with the bats, mourning his loved ones and embracing his identity as a vampire. Unbeknownst to him, Martine is resurrected, having ingested a drop of Michael's blood as he fed on her. In two mid-credit scenes, Adrian Toomes is transported to Michael's universe from his own. Surmising that Spider-Man is somehow responsible, Toomes approaches the fugitive Michael and suggests that they form a team.
Okay.
Because all of this was just a road to Sinister Six. They're trying to get to a Sinister Six movie. Because later this year, we've got Kraven the Hunter.
It's all fucking dumb. And for whatever reason, like, of all the gin joints in all the world, how is it that Morbius would think that, oh, this guy has fake money. Maybe it's built, they've got a lab.
To what degree? Yeah, I get he's supposed to be some sort of presumably mechanical engineer whiz. He's also a biochemist. But we're to believe that a counterfeiting, a currency counterfeiting operation is going to have the same basic equipment necessary to synthesize an antibody.
Yeah.
To the condition that you needed a high-tech and highly funded lab to develop.
And the fact that you didn't do that already in the lab that you were working in, whatever. Again, and also, if you're making that fake money and it doesn't pass a marker test, that's the one thing. Like, the whole thing is just, again, ham-fisted.
Ham-fisted.
Yeah, we get the stupid line here.
Who the hell are you, Matt?
Me. I... You can go now.
Which again, it just was like, okay, what are we trying to say here? Like that, oh, we're trying to blame it on Venom. Okay, I guess.
if it had been a thread throughout that maybe Venom was to do with this,
it'd be great.
But Daily they mentioned he was Daily literally
Bugle, sorry, Daily Bugle article about Venom maybe coming to New York
We've
City.
We've seen two Daily Bugle people papers. I will say, I think it's in the trivia. What's his bucket? J.K. Simmons did a cameo for this, but it was cut from the final.
But yeah, to your point about this lab, like to do like, you know, the centrifugal, all of that was a centrifuge. Was fucking stupid.
Repurposing a large format printer. I didn't understand any of it.
The whole thing was fucking dumb.
So dumb.
So fucking dumb.
And it's one thing that like technobabble and science stuff in comic book films can sound like they take great pains to make it not sound like they want it to sound believable. Mm-hmm. Nothing in this sounded believable.
Right. Again, because you're using shit like a Casio watch for fucking as a scientific instrument. Like it's stupid.
There is this line when Milo's in the bar and we think that he's about to prey on this woman, which thankfully they never do, except for the nurse that gets murdered in the hallway. Mm-hmm. They never use the vampire allegory for sexual assault, which, or at least from my perspective, I could be wrong and I'm willing to hear somebody out who wants to tell me that I'm wrong. My point is there's this line.
Do I know you?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
We've met. I'm sure of it.
No, I remember. You're too pretty. You know what they say? Tequila to remember, whiskey to forget. It's good. Sir, two tequilas, please.
That saying's kind of true because tequila is one of the only, I think the only liquor spirit that is an upper.
Oh, is it?
I think so, yeah. Oh, that's why people get nuts on tequila.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a party!
You give me one margarita and I'm going to give you some head. Sorry.
Is that from something?
Yeah, it's a song. We can put it in.
Give me one margarita, I'ma open my legs. Give me two margaritas, I'ma give you some head. Give me three margaritas, I'ma put it in my puss. Give me four margaritas, I'ma put it in my tush. Give me five.
Don Julio 1942. I know that that's it's a fancy whiskey or a fancy.
We're in a dive bar in New York.
But just going and saying, I'd like the Don Julio 1942. All that does to me is just say, okay, so you went online and was like, hey, what's the best whiskey? And that was the first one you saw.
You also don't even know that they have it. You didn't say, hey, what's your best whiskey?
Yeah.
I'm celebrating. I'd love a shot of your best whiskey. Like, make it make sense.
Yeah. Give me your best
whiskey.
Literally
make it make sense.
And make it two for this, you know, whatever. Like that would have been funny or that would have been better. But again, to call it out by name would just, again, took me out. Because it's like, why are we doing this? Why
and
does
also,
this need to be so specific?
I think we're supposed to be off put that he goes after these kind of douchey, misogynistic tech bros.
Yeah.
Or not tech bros, but Wall Street bros or finance bros, whatever.
Sure. But it's not like they go and they like tell like, hey, this is the kind of clothes I'm wearing or the clothes or the car that I'm driving. Like, look at the model and look at the brand. Like, none of that happens.
No. Instead, he goes to the very top of a building like Batman.
Yeah.
Purchases on the corner. And hears them.
Yeah.
And then jumps to...
and then I am vengeance. Yeah. And I mean, I get it. Like, that's his whole thing is... It's so stupid.
You know what else is stupid?
What is that?
This is an antibody. It inhibits ferritin and induces a massive iron overload. Instant hemochromatosis. Deadly to bats. Fatal to humans.
You should feel ashamed for writing that.
Who wrote that? Deadly to bats, lethal to humans. Is there a difference? I don't think there's a difference. I'm usually really pedantic about words, and I'm pretty sure deadly and lethal mean the same thing.
Yeah.
At least in this context.
Yeah. It's so fucking stupid. This was just a dumb line.
It really was. And Jared Harris, who plays Dr. Emil Nicholas, this is where I had that he's got the Sean Bean syndrome, where he plays a really... great role, very sincere role, and then dies for it.
Oh, from Game of Thrones. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was Sean Bean.
Yeah.
This guy, because like...
yeah, I love him as an actor.
I do too. He's, when you think about Sherlock, with Robert Downey Jr., they both jump over the side of the waterfall at the end. Mm-hmm. If you think about, I don't know, did you ever watch Mad Men?
No.
His character does not survive, but I won't spoil it otherwise. Yeah. It's been a decade. Get over it if you're mad. He's my husband. I can care what he thinks. Anyway, yeah, because he's the only one delivering a grounded, heartfelt performance.
Yeah.
And he gets his gut slashed for it.
when they go to Martine's apartment and they shake her litter box to try to get the cat to come, that's not how that works.
That's cats, not how that works.
Cats won't generally come to
cats
that.
Aren't like, ooh, I do need to poop. Thank you very much.
Here, kitty, 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 kitty. Cat's gone. And she's probably gone along with it.
No.
If you are doing a food bowl.
A food bowl, a can opener.
Anything like that. That's the motivation. The cat's like, no.
Our cat will come if she thinks you're getting a croissant.
Yeah.
And then she'll steal it off the counter and try to run away with it under the table.
Oh, so
anyway, this is hardly impressive because we've seen Batman summon bats before.
Yeah.
And B, what is the power slash effect here?
Yeah.
Like we know from the synopsis that he's trying to restrain Milo.
Yeah.
And I realize that we've jumped some things. Like, yes, Martine's been captured by Milo. Somehow he hears it over all of the city and then has to focus harder to find it.
Yeah.
And then she's half dead on the roof and she's like, yeah, you have to do it.
Were they trying to make him Batman? Was that the idea? Is that like the idea is that he's supposed to be some sort of like, they're trying to make him into like a bat vigilante? Because it just feels so fucking tired. Why would you want to make
there's nothing
a
fresh
Batman
here.
Adjacent film that can't even be Batman?
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of bad Batman movies, a lot of bad ones, but like, why would you want to try to emulate that in any sort of sense?
And again, Martine dying here has no, do it, drink my blood so you can be powerful. And then she bites him. So she gets some of his blood and that leads up to the, ooh, she's a vampire too.
Okay.
Which again is never explained because it's never set up as a possibility. Like he's never careful with his blood around her in the way that say, I don't know, Bruce Banner is around his cousin Jennifer.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Because again, so much world building that the blood itself is toxic.
Yeah. It's so stupid. And again, like you said, like the whole bat restraining thing, if I didn't know that that's what happened, I would have been like, yeah. Because my question was, is like, lol, how did he stab him? Like, how did he get to him?
The bats were holding him down somehow.
But again, I would think that because he was so proficient in figuring out his powers that he would have figured out how to talk to the bats too.
I have nothing at this point. I've run out of my own funny.
Yeah. So,
trying to make this a palatable experience for our audience.
Yeah. And again, my questions here. So she's a vampire now, I guess. Yeah. Cool.
Also, this mid-credit scene was, again, spoiled in the trailer and he was billed above the title and he's got 5 lines. Great for you, Michael Keaton. He only had to show up for one day on set because he never removes the vulture helmet at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Why is Morbius driving out to the middle of nowhere? Why isn't he flying?
This.
Questions.
Why is it? Why
How
are they
does
going-
Tombs have that exact tech already that we know he developed from an alien invasion that did not happen in this universe?
Yeah. That doesn't make any fucking sense.
He didn't have it with him in prison? It didn't come over with him? How long has he been out to be able to? Anyway.
Yeah, this.
How does he have resources in this new world?
So yeah, Morbius? Question mark. That's basically how I feel about this. Yep. Anyways, that's Morbius.
That's Morbius. It was made for somewhere between 75 and 83 million, and perhaps unsurprisingly, doubled its money. It made 167,000.
Probably
167.5 million.
That doesn't include marketing, but
you always say that, but still objectively in terms of numbers, it made its budget back.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Which I guess makes sense why Madam Web was able to proceed. So yeah, critics gave it 15%.
Yes.
Which is, agreed.
Yeah. Esther Zuckerman from Thrillist said, like most April Fool's Day jokes, Morbius is not actually funny. It's not bad in the ha-ha, you have to see it, this is so ridiculous kind of way. It just feels underbaked and lame and sadly not weird enough to be any kind of fun.
Yep. And again, same critique with Madam Web.
Yep.
Nick Shager at the Daily Beast said, not the epic disaster we expected. It is, however, generic as hell.
Yep. Bill Jabiri from New York Magazine / Vulture said, Morbius has no reason to exist as an actual movie, but maybe that's why it worked for me. I think he was drinking during.
That he might have taken an edible or something like that.
He
or,
was having some sort of other experience while also watching this movie.
Or somebody from Sony's holding a gun to his head and being like, you got to write something nice about it. Come on. Richard Whitaker from the Austin Chronicle said, so many choices just seemed half-hearted. They're not terrible, but they're also not interesting.
Yeah.
And yeah.
That's a great absolutely. Summary.
This is stupid.
Viewers, 71%.
Yeah.
El Sebastian said on June 20th, 2022, 5 stars. These are verified viewers, by the way. Better than expected. The movie has some questionable scenes, but overall it was great. I really like the story across the entire movie.
Do people just give out like that's that sounds like a 3-star review to me.
Yeah.
Like why 5 stars?
I don't know. They could have been trying to do what the last 5-star review did, but let's do this 1/2-star review first.
Go okay, great. Xavier on January 25th, 2023. Literally the worst comic book movie ever created. The only redeeming quality of this movie is the design of Morbius himself. Very disappointing, especially as a huge Spider-Man fan.
Agreed.
Very let down.
I do like the character design for Morbius. It is fairly comics accurate.
Yeah, and I don't hate Jared Leto as Morbius. He just doesn't feel, again, I have no reason to feel sorry or sympathetic yeah. for him in any sort of way. And I felt the same way as him as a Joker.
Yeah.
You know, like there him as Joker just was kind of bleh, who cared? Like I didn't care that he was a villain. Like,
well, see, now it seems like you do have a problem with Jared Leto then, because you're saying you didn't care for him in either role.
I guess it's fair. There isn't any movies that I really like him in. But again, I didn't think he was a bad choice for this. I think if he would have had better direction and a better script.
But also, this if you're going to cast Jared Leto, who has, quote, stories, right? Like, he comes with, his reputation precedes him as a professional actor.
Yeah.
You've got to bring everything else up to make it worth it.
Exactly.
And they didn't.
Yeah.
And it just, anyway, Alex here, August 10th, 2022, 5 stars, verified. Morbius truly has to be one of the films released in 2022 so far. Jared Leto did a job playing Morbius, and the action was in the film. The film has storytelling and the CGI was animated. The side characters were, along with Morbius, and the villain was a bad guy. The jokes were sentences. The film really is one of the films of all time, if not the last decade.
This is my favorite thing. How did you find this?
I'm telling you, it was literally right there at the top of the verified list.
Oh my God. That is the best review of this. Like that. That's so fun.
Yeah. And it goes back to one of the
CGI was animated.
The CGI was animated. It did win an award. It won at the 43rd annual Golden Raspberry Awards. It received nominations for Worst Picture, Worst Director, Worst Screenplay, and won Worst Actor and Worst Supporting Actress.
Bless.
All right. But before we move on, I just put that in because it had an award. It was in the award section. I don't know that I'm on board with the concept of the Golden Raspberries anymore. At the end of the day, all of these people are working.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe we don't have to have too much sympathy for Jared Leto, but I mean, they tried. They're cash and check. Maybe they don't care as much. I just feel like these kind of superlatives have gone out with a style of comedy that no longer exists and is popular.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like I don't really care for a movie being terrible.
No.
And I don't like it would be different to give like a retrospective of like, hey, these are movies that came out that were bad. Like, you know, like how did this get made? Does a really good job.
Yes.
Of watching
it's a
movies
better
like
approach.
This.
Yes.
And being like, yeah, this is terrible. And we're going to tell you why.
Yeah.
This just seems to be like putting it up on a pedestal for some reason.
Yeah.
And that's not really necessary.
No.
All right. Trivia.
Users of the film's official Discord server, which how many films have official Discord servers?
Yeah.
They call themselves Morbheads, and users engaged in Morbin on various Discord servers by distributing pirated copies of the film.
What a way to support the movie by literally not supporting the
movie.
A
large number of channels on the live streaming service Twitch began illegally hosting the entire film on repeat.
It's so great. Morbius privacy spread to other platforms, including Twitter, where the entire film was posted in a series of 52 two-minute long videos compressed into 30-second long video or long. Wait. Was posted in a series of 52 two-minute long videos compressed into a 30-second long video and the entire script copy and pasted into individual tweets.
Those are three different ways it was pirated.
Oh, got it. Okay, that makes sense. I was like, why? That doesn't make any sense.
Viral fake news posts claiming that a Morbius sequel had been greenlit as a result of the internet memes spread on Twitter, leading to Morbius 2 to trend on Twitter. In addition to the phrase, it's Morbin time, it trended for a week.
That's so good. I mean, again, they brought it back to theaters
because of the memes.
And that's just so stupid.
Leto, in response to the memes, tweeted, "What time is it?" And a 19-second video where he was caught reading a script titled Morbius 2, It's Morbin Time, written by himself under the pseudonym Bartholomew Cubbins. And then following the financial failure of the re-release, a petition was started on change.org to put the film back in theaters for a third time with the claim that we were all busy that weekend. Oh, Lord.
Okay. I mean,
I left it out on the table. I don't have any final thoughts. I'm out of them.
Yeah. I will say that the memes portion is sort of like it. Dune 2 is probably a much better movie, but the whole fucking popcorn bucket and everybody like, you know, rally, like, you know,
somebody showed it to Villeneuve and he was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. But again, it's just like that sort of stuff is fun. Like the memes that come from things like that, that are kind of goofy, like, you know, fucking Zendaya is Michi, whatever that those things. But this is just so bad. Please don't uplift this movie. Don't watch it if you haven't seen it. I hope that this was entertaining enough for you to understand that this movie is not worth your time. That's all I've got for my final thoughts.
All right. Where can they find us on social media, Clancy?
You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at NonplusPod.
Yes, and you can email us at submissions@nonpluspod.com. Let us know what you want us to watch this year.
Yeah.
Give us your own thoughts. If you were a mighty Morbin Power Ranger and you liked this movie, feel free to blow up our box.
Yeah, Morbheads unite, I guess?
I don't know.
Yeah.
And, of course, remember to rate, review, and subscribe on your podcasting platform of preference just so that we get more listeners.
Yes, please.
Glad to be back, fam. That over there is my husband, Clancy.
And over there is my beautiful husband, Josh.
And we have been Nonplussed. Mighty Morbin Power Rangers.
But all that I know is that we need Jubilee. I just like Jubilee.
Okay.
The ship just kind of wheels into the
wheels?
Dock. They can find us on Facebook and Instagram and X.
You do this every time. The joke is old, Clancy. If you want us to be on another social media platform, you could start the account.
We really can't. Okay, let's redo it. they can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and X.
As?
Oh, sorry. Sorry, it's been 2 months.